Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother Two Posts, StonePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you had a great day today. Mine is winding down. We're getting ready to head to a new town tomorrow to get ourselves in position for a couple of preaches for this weekend. Been working on some testings, been working on a lot of online discipleship, fellowship, all kinds of things. Want to bring a teaching to you today. I'm calling it Samson and Sin. Samson and Sin. Yeah. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. But over the course of my ministry life, I've heard people say, when they try to defend the actions of like sinful pastors or leaders that are caught in sex scandals or caught in all types of sin, they'll say, well, Samson had a lot of sin and God still used him. And I want to say that there's some truth to that statement, no doubt about it, can't deny it. But I want to look at this in detail. I want to look at it in context and see if we can understand the situation with Samson as compared to modern pastors today. I think we have a lot to learn from the Samson example. That's a whole nother Bible study that we could focus on. But I want to give you some biblical reasons. I want to share some with you that Samson's life is a bad example used out of context, comparing him to the average pastor, leader, man today who would fall into sin. I want to talk about that. Let's get right to it. First point, Samson was no average man. Why do I say that? Well, even in his birth, well, I should say in his conception, he was an archetype of Jesus' own birth. This is what God did with Samson. Judges 13:3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. God had a preordained plan. I guess we're all preordained and planned, right? But he had a special purpose for Samson. It involved an angel appearing to his mother, kind of like the Virgin Mary account, right? Yeah, so God had this special plan for Samson. What was his plan? Samson, point two, was given a vow by God to become a Nazarene. Samson didn't pick it, like these modern pastors pick to become leaders. God picked this for Samson before he was born. It was given to him by God himself. Judges 13:5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. There's that special part right there. None of us were consecrated to God from the womb. Samson was. Very different situation. Point three, God gives Samson a specific task. Judges 13:5. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. All right, so the context is God himself has this man conceived for a special purpose to use Samson to deliver Israel from its enemy, the Philistines. Now, when we compare Samson to a modern pastor or leader today in the corrupt denominational religious systems that we see all over, all right? No comparison. This man was marked, created and marked by God to do a specific task. Here's an important part. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, before the New Blood Covenant. Remember that, all right? Remember that. So if we read about Samson's life in the scriptures, you can read about it in Judges. It's about from chapter 13 to 16. What you're going to find is a man of great physical strength. And he was also a man who was fleshly and fell into sin. Yeah. What were his sins? Well, there was a bunch of them, but rebelling against his parents' wishes, wanting a Philistine wife, running off and laying with a harlot after he lost his wife, losing sight of God's mission for his life, getting seduced by Delilah, and basically going against God by revealing the secret of his power to the enemy. Yeah, he did all those things. This is proof that he was a sinful, at times fleshly, carnal-minded man. But you know what's a fact? God always gets his way. Our sin, no sin, our obedience, not our obedience, God's will always works out. He always gets his way. And Samson was marked for God all the way to his death. And he was called to stand against the Philistines, and he did that, even through his sin, unto his death. So when we look at Samson's life, what we have to remember is the Lord always allows for one thing in humans. Ready? Free will. Look at David's sin. Look at Noah's sin of drunkenness. David, murder and adultery. Noah, drunkenness. But guess what? God still works in us to get his way. Always works for God's good, God's glory, God's way, even through our sin and our rebellion. And again, God had a specific plan for Samson. And his plan was that Samson would be a Nazarene. Samson would deliver Israel from the Philistines, or at least start that deliverance. He would be a judge, and he was a strong, mighty warrior. Now, because of all the stuff that we're talking about, we know about Samson's life, we can learn things from his life. I think Samson, looking at a Philistine woman, which was the enemies of God, or looking at Delilah, what was he caught up in? Their beauty, probably. He got swept away by women. This was his demise. And it reminds me of, when I think about this, a man looking at a woman just for her beauty, not her heart, not her content, not her character. It reminds me of what Jesus said, Matthew 5:29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it out from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. Yeah, Samson let his wandering eyes get him in trouble, to stumble him into sin. You know what happened? His enemies plucked his eyes out for him. See how that works? Yeah, his enemies ended up doing that. How telling. Samson, as I said, was a man of great power. Strong, physical man, could rip a lion apart with his hands, right? Could go to battle and do mighty battle against many men. But he also had great weakness. Great strength, great weakness. He probably got prideful. Yeah, he probably got prideful. God hates pride. Pride's a big, big sin. Samson had favor with God, but he misused his strength and his favor in wrong ways, and it cost him dearly in the end. So we have to note all this about Samson. After all of his shortcomings, his sins, he does cry out to God at the end of his life and asks him for one thing, lets him do this one thing. It's really what God called him to do. And he triumphs over the enemies in his own death. Even though he's blind, they plucked his eyes out, and he was a prisoner that they're mocking. You see the fate of his life, how it all came to be because of his sin? But God still had his way, didn't he? Samson went to God, and he cried out and said, "Let me have this." Judges 16:21-22. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. All right, so notice, he's in prison. They plucked his eyes out. I mean, this is shameful, right? But notice, it says his hair began to grow again. Delilah tricked him, and he told her his secret of his strength was his long hair, because he made a vow to God. God was his strength. And but what does it say? It says after his hair would grow, and it was starting to grow. So we know it had to be at least months and months. Men's hair don't grow overnight. So it had to be months and months that he was contemplating this. So it was a good amount of time for him to come to himself. And then he does humble himself in prayer, or cries out to God. Judges 16:28. And Samson called out unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my eyes." All right, so we see him crying out to God. You know how I know Samson repented? Because in the book of John, chapter 9, it says God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Samson repented. Samson had a contrite heart. Samson was humbled. God heard him. And that we know the story. What happens? He goes out and he's led by two pillars of this temple, and he, with all his might, pushes them out, and the building collapses. 3,000 Philistines die, Samson with it. His life is taken. At that time, he does go against the enemies of Israel. And Samson, what can we say about him? Because of his carnal, rebellious, sinful ways, he ended up being used by women, a prisoner, his eyes plucked out. He dies in a final act. It wasn't against his enemies, and it was for his God. So we got to give him that. And so what we can see is the sin, our flesh, gets us into trouble. We know that, right? But God still has his way, as we said. And can man's sin ever stop getting God getting his will and his way? No. No, it can't. That should be good to know, right? Because we'd all be lost without that. Amen? Amen. So let's look at the facts. While Samson did do sinful things, God did use him. He did finish his role, even though it was a sad ending. But I want you to consider this about the Old Testament Samson. Remember I said Old Testament Samson? I want you to consider this about Old Testament Samson. He lived in a time of brutality, lots of death, killing, fleshly ways. And these are people that God told to go forth and do some wicked things, right? And they're living in a time when they're so void of the truth of God that if you remember back in the Torah law, he told the Israelites to hang scriptures between their eyes, it called frontlets, and hang tassels on their clothing. Why? So they could remember God's commandments. These people were dead in their hearts. They weren't born again. Remember that. And so they're living in a really, really cruel, wicked time. Next point, they had no indwelling Holy Spirit. That didn't come till Acts 2, right? Samson never claimed to be, nor was he blessed to be, born from above by the Spirit of God, like a modern pastor, teacher, leader, elder, mature man of God today should be by his testimony. You got the Spirit of God in you today. You got the full Word of God. You got Jesus Christ's example. Samson didn't have any of that. He's walking around in his flesh, trying to please God as best he can. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I got to cut him a lot of grace. I know how it is to struggle with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and Jesus' example. I can't imagine being Samson or any man in the Old Testament not having any of that and still striving on to serve God in that brutal world they lived in. Ponder that. How about in the Old Testament? Samson, I talked about it, wasn't a new creation. He was a tool in the Old Testament to do a task that God needed done. Even though he did it in a fleshly, carnal way, he did it. He ended up carrying it out. This is under the Old Testament. Remember that. Very critical. In the Old Testament, at times, God winked at sin back then because it was a brutal time. And he called for times for men to act brutal and to butcher other people. Yeah, God did. Samson killed 1,000 men with a jawbone. He killed some other men another time. Then he killed 3,000 with the building coming down. God was so merciful then on his people, even on other people. Acts 17:30, in the times of ignorance God winked at, Paul said in the book of Acts. So some of the examples of this winking. In the Old Testament, men had multiple wives. We know that's not God's will. We know that divorces were rampant under Moses. God allowed it. We know that's not God's will. How about the killing of enemies that went on and on and on? That's really not God's way. He doesn't want the wicked to perish, but it went on. It was perilous times in the Old Testament. You see the kind of world that Samson grew up in? Yeah, very much unlike the New Testament covenant that we have today. Animals being killed, people being killed. But now, what do we have? Well, men today, including myself, that want to be teachers, leaders, preachers, pastors, whatever, evangelists, we're called to a much higher standard. As I said, we have the Spirit of God in us. We have the Word of God, and we have the finished example of Jesus Christ. Wow, we have a lot going for us. We got to be careful not to judge Samson too harsh. As an Old Testament man, when he does these sexual sins, like, okay, laying with a harlot. We know one time he laid with a harlot. I know that's bad. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? You look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. Yeah, be careful judging Samson with no spirit, no finished word of God, no example of Christ for doing those acts when we all have to struggle through this life, right? With everything that God's given us. We have a new and a better covenant today. Christ, as I said it many times already, he's our example, he's our hope. And now, what does God do? He used to wink at things. What does God do now? He calls men everywhere to repent because of Christ's finished work. Acts 17:30. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's what Paul said. God calls men everywhere to repent. In Christ, another point, we have the victory now. Christ has overcome sin. He's overcome death. Samson didn't have that. We crucify the flesh. We no longer have to fulfill its lusts. We don't need to walk in the flesh as they once did. It's really all they had. Read Galatians 5, 24-25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let's keep that in mind when we make these comparisons of Old Testament to New Testament. You don't see anybody in the New Testament that claims the Holy Spirit living in active willful sin. Everybody that fell in sin or sexual sin was called out, rebuked, and told to stop. The Old Testament, we see men going into sin, and God shows us, I love this about God's Word, it shows us a clear picture of who these people are. Doesn't hide it, doesn't deny it, doesn't lie about it, and God still works through them. And eventually they all come to repentance. To my knowledge, all those men all came to repentance other than someone in the New Testament like a Judas who didn't come to repentance. Well, he did kind of repent. He went and threw the money back at him, but then he went out and killed himself. So Samson didn't have this awesome gift we have in the New Testament, the indwelling spirit, the finished word, Christ's example. Now, when we look at Samson, we have to agree that God is the one that gave him his great strength. It wasn't something he gave himself. He didn't lift weights to get it. God gave him the strength. And can you just fathom the time he lived? How much physical flesh and brute force there had to be to take a ass's jawbone and kill 1,000 men? Hacking them, beating men to death. I got to be graphic. That's what it is. This is pure savagery back then. How can you compare that to a modern pastor today? I don't think you can, or any leaders today. Not cutting Samson any slack, but I'm also saying let's compare apples to apples, and Old Testament to New Testament is not any such comparison whatsoever. Today we're told to love our enemies, but back then they hacked them to pieces. Great bloodshed. Brutality. Yeah, and it was an example of law versus spirit. Old Testament to New Testament. The Old Testament was the law. The New Testament is the spirit. Totally different. Totally different now. So we got to keep that in mind. So ponder all these examples that people try to pull out of the Old Testament, comparing the new, and make sure it's rightly dividing and cutting God's word straightway and not twisting it so they can have corrupt friends that do sexual sin, overlook it. They don't even repent. They're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. No, none of that is appropriate for the New Testament. It wasn't appropriate for the Old Testament either. Men had to come to repentance, didn't they? Yeah, they did. And God judged sin back then too. He did. So if Samson lived his whole life and he was committed to God as a Nazarene, and what we read about were the main sins that he committed, compared to people and leaders and pastors and all these false men today, pew sitting false converts that have the Spirit, the Word of God, and Christ's example, I don't think Samson fares that bad. Yeah, he still sinned. I ain't making excuses for his sin. But we got a lot more going on today to help us walk in holiness and truth than Samson ever did. Yeah, absolutely true. And we know God's not partial. So we know Samson did cry out to God. I already read God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. He hears repentant saints. And so we know that Samson gained the kingdom of God. Now, we're not supposed to know who went to heaven, who went to hell, but we have really good evidence here. Ready? Paul mentions him in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 31 to 33. Paul's talking about people of great faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Ephathah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Interesting, he mentioned Samson there. And then these verses as well, Hebrews 11, 35 through 40. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These verses right here, the main verses, verses 39 and verse 40 from Hebrews 11. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Did you ponder that? Our God is so gracious and so redeeming. He used Rahab, the harlot. Her bloodline is in Christ. Yeah, talks about it in the New Testament in the genealogies. Rahab's bloodline, a harlot, is in Christ's bloodline. It reminds us that God is redemptive. And did you notice Paul said that we have something better? That's what I was talking about. The new covenant, the word, the spirit. Samson didn't have that. So ponder how glorious God is. He's redemptive. He redeemed Samson through all of his sin and his fleshliness. We all know this, okay? It's by grace through faith that we find salvation, but it's never alone. Works of holiness and obedience are the fruit that you know God. All right, but none of us are perfect, but we can't go on living in willful sin. Nope, we're going to perish if we do that. Samson would have perished if he didn't repent. We have to come to repentance in it all, and we have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Talks about in 1 John, if we walk in the truth, walk in the light, we can be cleansed by Christ, and we have fellowship one with another. So again, seems like Samson cried out. God heard him in the end. It didn't end well, but he did do his mission against the enemy. Paul mentioned Samson as one of those in Hebrews 11. Yeah, he was rebellious. Yeah, he created issues for himself. And he wasn't working for God's will fully, like a lot of us do. Amen. And his life is a good lesson for us, both to the good and to the bad. What's the old lesson? We reap what we sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to sow to the spirit. Again, Samson did not have the spirit of God indwelling. He had the spirit come upon him once in a while, not indwelling. That's really, really important. Who knows how different his life could have ended if he didn't live in the flesh as much as he did. Only God knows how that would have worked out. But we can ponder that. So just be careful before we go making or listening to these people making light of sin in leaders today, or saying that Samson was just extra, extra wicked and God used him right up to the end. He was wicked. That's not really true. Samson came to himself. Consider the contextual facts is what I'm asking you to do, and make a righteous judgment about Samson and about any example they use. You know, another good one is they always say in the book of Samuel, it says God doesn't look on the outside, he looks on the heart. And they always say, see, God doesn't care how we dress. That's absolutely not true. That's not what the Bible says. That's another bad context example. So always make sure you test these. Make sure that they're being used in context used properly. Jesus commanded that we make righteous judgments. John 7:24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So that doesn't mean by appearance of clothing. He's saying make a righteous judgment, meaning get all your facts straight. Make sure you know. Proverbs says don't speak about something you don't know. Only a fool does that. And then Paul says this in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That reminds me of Hebrews 3:13, where the Lord gave Paul the words to say, don't be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin, but exhort each other daily. Hey, we can get caught up in all this, folks. And we got the Spirit, and we got the Word, and we got Christ as the example, and we admonish to not get caught up in sin over and over and over. What about Samson? He didn't have anything that we had in that way. He did have the favor of God. That's an awesome thing. But he also had a will that he had to contend with. So we can be, like Samson, witnesses for good things, or we can be witnesses for bad things. He had both. Paul warns of that sin, to not be a witness of the bad things. I guess we should ask ourselves, which one do we want to be? An example to the good, or an example to the bad, to those around us? Samson falling in his sin a few times, in his flesh, still coming through in his faith in the end, still basically accomplishing God's mission, even though it looked very bad for him at the end, could have been done differently. This is a far cry from the modern pastors today who have no excuses to not be walking in victory and overcoming because of the Spirit, the Word, and the example of Christ. Most of them are false convert, hypocrites, money takers, looking for vainglory and popularity of men. Don't compare them to a Samson that had a few sexual shortcomings. You know, last point, God hates hypocrisy more than anything else, certainly more than sexual sin. Samson had sexual sin in his life. He did. He did repent of it at the end. He seemed to have come to himself. What about the hypocrisy that's in man-made religion? Making excuses over and over when God has made a way through Christ for us to repent and to leave sin. Don't use Samson as a scapegoat for the sins of these wicked, false teachers today, or for me, or for you. Let's all compare ourselves to ourselves. Let's judge ourselves. As Paul says, examine yourself. Make sure that we're not reprobates, and then we can walk in victory. Judge yourself the hardest. Judge those people in the body you're united to. Judge people that claim Christ. And then the people of the world, we don't judge them. We preach the gospel to them and warn them that their fate is going to be judgment and wrath. I hope that's blessed you. We could do a lot of studies. I think one day I'm going to do a study on Samson. We could do a lot more on Samson. A lot of good stuff. There's negative stuff there. That could be anybody's life, including mine. But I hope every day, because I have the Spirit, I have the Word, I have Christ's example, I hope every day I am striving to stay out of sin. When I fall into sin, whatever sin it is, a sin of the flesh, I really don't believe I carry doctrinal sin. I think sins of the flesh is the one you're going to wrestle with the rest of your life. Let it be quick. Let us ponder it. Let us put it down. Let us repent of it. Let's strive hard against it. Keep our eyes on Christ, glorifying God so that we don't get stumbled and we don't sow to the flesh and reap to the flesh. No, let us sow to the Spirit and reap to the Spirit, and that is eternal life to come. Hey, thanks for listening, saints and seekers, if anybody's out there listening as a seeker. I know some are. Hope that edified you today. We are getting down the gospel road. We'll be preaching at a false religious movie opening coming up. Yep, we're going to be preaching outside one of them. And then we're going to be preaching outside a religious event coming up as well. So we're looking forward to that. If the Lord allows, we got some travel to do. We're excited to be out serving the Lord, preaching Christ crucified out in this lost and dying world. Go to don'tperish.com, test yourself to the gospel, check out all the resources, let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. We love you all. We're here to help you. May God be praised.